it's Lee Salisbury here. Welcome to a very special week of Soap from the Box, celebrating the return of Neighbours to Amazon Freevee. All week, we have interviews with some of the biggest stars, not only in front of the camera, but behind the camera as well. Remember, there are over 90 episodes of Soap from the Box to listen to right now. So when you've enjoyed this week's spectacular, settle down and listen to some of them. Enjoy today's. My guest today is an Australian television producer, screenwriter and novelist, and the most important person on Ramsay Street who could drown you in a river or run you over with a bus. Characters only, of course. He has been the exec producer of Neighbours for years, but started his career there straight from school, where he worked in the writer's room. I was lucky enough to work side by side with him when filming with Guy Pearce and Annie Jones earlier this year. We also had some lovely cocktails at the end of the shoot. It's a pleasure to welcome Jason Herbertson. Hello, Jason.
Hello, Lee. I think you've just said everything. What can I possibly add to that?
Let's go back to when you joined. So, I mean, what a first, I mean, I luckily got into television straight away. What a first job. Had you been a fan of Neighbours as a youngster?
I loved Neighbours. It was my favourite show when I was at high school. Probably from the second year of the show, I really tapped into it. I absolutely loved it. So it was an absolute thrill when I wrote a letter, which was just a fan letter, a sort of a dear Neighbours, this is what I think you should do with the show. It was an absolute thrill to get home from school one day and my mum told me that someone from the script department had called me up, and they'd be calling up, at 6:30 that night or whatever time it was. And I waited very, very anxiously by the phone. And sure enough, a lovely man named Ray Colley rang me up and said, I think you've got some talent here and why don't you stay in touch? And incredibly, it led to a job.
That's amazing. Well, there's not many people who write kind of with ideas of how to do the show. And for people listening, so when you did join and you joined the writer's room, what did that first job involve then?
Well, I was a storyliner. There was two of us that were on a bit of a trial, and there was only going to be one job. So there was a little bit of a competition. It was like a reality show,
like a soap scene in itself.
Yes, no, there was only going to be one job. I was in the writer, the storylining room. Basically, that's the engine room coming up with all the stories. And fortunately, I was lucky enough to get the job and stay on.
Amazing. And I mean, I'm friends with obviously storyliners and work with a lot of them. And actually, for people listening, it's such a tough job because if you just say to someone, actually, right, think of a character in a soap, now think of a year's line worth of storylines, and that show's been on, and that character might have been in the show for 30 years. It's incredibly tough, isn't it?
Look, it is, but it's, you know, funny story. I had very, very, very vivid memories of, joining the show in early 1992. And I have very vivid memories of one of the other storyliners saying to me, oh, Jason, it's so difficult. The show's been going for so long. It's really, really hard to come up with new ideas. Shows don't normally go this long. And of course, in Australia, dramas didn't used to go that long. And I often think about that, because the show had only been going for 6 or 7 years at that point.
Wow, yeah.
You know, they were sort of bemoaning how difficult it was to come up with new storylines then. And here we are 37, 38 years later, still at it.
You're still at it. With some of the same characters as well. So let's take us back in time. What was happening in the show when you were storylining? What era was that?
I do recall that my letter, I think that was about the post Jason Kylie era. I remember being having a little bit of constructive criticism around the next era of, say, young characters that came into the show.
Yeah.
And then I came in. I think my letter was a little bit about, you know, some of these characters aren't working. I think you should do this and this and this. As it happened, it was aligning with what they were already planning to do, which I think is what made my letter stand out.
Oh, that's amazing,
it's all coming back to me now. I remember that one of the very early things was the storyline where Lucy and Brad and maybe Josh and maybe Todd Christian Schmid.
Yes,
went
I remember.
To
yeah,
Land, and met Beth, who was Natalie Imbruglia. I remember that storyline from my very, very early time on the show. Gosh, what else? It was the Willises. It was
Willises, who I love. Yeah,
the Martins, the Willises, the Alessis. I'm sure they were on the show. It was that kind of era.
And I mean, that was a, I suppose it was a tough, because Kylie and Jason, as we know, kind of, not just single-handedly, but did catapult it to a kind of different level of fame. Obviously, Kylie coming away and I Should Be So Lucky being huge when she was still in the show. It must always be, I suppose it's always quite hard to, I mean, you must still have this now that you have big characters coming and going. Obviously, as we always say in soap, no one is bigger than the show. But it's tough, isn't it, when you have people that really hit a chord with people and then they go.
Definitely. You know, it was such an iconic period of the show, the Scott and Charlene and the Mike and the Jane days. You know, certainly here in Australia, it was the zenith of its popularity.
Yeah.
And I think there was a noticeable sort of change in the show after that era. But as there have been over the years, you know, it's the show, it's always in motion. There are always different teen groups. There are always different family groups. We do have the wonderful heritage characters that are sort of, you know, here year in, year out, that provide that wonderful stability. But yeah, I mean, you know, certainly I know our amazing fan community that have stuck with us all these years as well, have their favorite eras and remember different periods for different reasons. And I think it was the same for me back then. But of course, you know, since that time, I've had such a long association of working in the show.
Yeah.
Which is a different perspective than just being a viewer at home.
And in 2013, you took over as series producer. Again, for people listening, because people like to know, we don't presume they know. Tell me what kind of a series producer in soap does.
You're basically the showrunner. And look, there are different kinds of series producers. There are some that come from a production background, but I of course came from a writing background.
Yeah.
So very much for me, I was or am still very much the story driver, the vision. Obviously, it's a huge team effort, and I've got a wonderful team around me. But it's kind of being the captain of the ship, leading the creative direction of the show, and then of course all other aspects of production, casting, production, post-production, again with a wonderful, incredible team, who helped me do it. But it's kind of, yeah, captain of the ship, driver of the train. It's that sort of role.
Yeah, and it is a massive team effort, but I know from working in soap, you need that one person that's, you know, in the end a decision maker, because otherwise everyone, as we know, especially with things that are non-factual, kind of everyone has amazing ideas about it. But did you come in, I mean, over here, when a series producer takes over, it's just happening in Hollyoaks, actually, the whole team's just changed. Very famous that people come in with an axe and get rid of people. Did you do that? Did you come in and kind of get rid of, make some room for new arrivals?
Well, a little bit of that was going on when I first came in. So I was originally hired to be the story producer, and there were some big cast changes happening around that time. Richard Jasik was the executive producer. Joe Porter was our head of drama at Fremantle, and they sort of turned to me to go, all right, well, we want to make some pretty big changes. What would you do? Who would you bring in? And I do remember. I was living in Sydney at the time, and I do remember being in my little study, having a little bit of a think about what I'd do, and I seem to recall having a couple of scenarios, but the one that got everyone excited was the big the return of the Lauren character and her family, and the return of Brad Willis and his family, which of course kicked off some huge story.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the, you've had so many now throughout your tenure, but what is your, have you got a favorite storyline that's happened, or a storyline that's taken you by surprise? Is there a standout moment for you? I know that's an almost impossible question.
I think different stories stand out for different reasons. I always go to perhaps the death of Sonia, which was a really powerful episode. I wrote that episode. I was very attached to how I was going to do it, and then I had the wonderful performances from Eve and Ryan.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
and direction from Kate Kendall that really, you know, elevated everything. So I always think of that. Of course, I'm very proud of the, well, finale. Is it a finale? It wasn't really a finale. But I really loved that episode. It was, how do you end a show? Well, we thought we were ending the show. And I just really went with my heart and thought, you know, this is what I want to do. And it was wonderful, you know, in the time and the limited time, that we had, it was very special and emotional the way everyone came together, and helped me realize it. So I would maybe point to those as a couple of
those two. And it brings us to the finale, before we talk about it coming back, which was obviously, I mean, what an episode. I think you fulfilled probably every old Neighbours fan's hearts and also every new Neighbours fans. I mean, again, obviously the big, as soon as we learned it was supposed to be ending, the big questions obviously that everyone were asking was who was going to come back. Did you have to limit yourself to who you asked back? How did you go about kind of going, right, these people I would love back?
So first of all, when we knew the show was finishing, we had about 4 weeks left in the story room. Wow. And so I immediately sort of paused the story room, so I could think about it, and also kind of looked at what we'd already plotted, because at any one point in time, you've probably got about 12 weeks of the show, in various stages of the scripting process before it's actually shot. And I went back into those weeks as best I could to create room for new stories, to wrap things up, so that I would have room, to bring in some of these iconic past characters. So from memory, I had a bit of an idea of who I wanted to bring back. There's certainly, you know, could have and would have been even more if we'd had the room. You know, we were also very, very concerned about COVID at the time, which I know perhaps for listeners might feel like a lifetime ago.
I know, but it was so prevalent back then. Yeah.
We were so concerned about COVID, and I really limited, sort of got to a certain point where we kind of went, okay, this is about it. We could have kept adding people, but I was terribly concerned about anyone getting COVID and then, you know, bringing the whole production to a halt, which would have been devastating in those final weeks.
I mean, I was lucky enough to work with Holly, obviously, Balance, and Natalie Imbruglia at the time, which was also amazing, just because those two, the characters hadn't met and they hadn't really spent that much time together. It was amazing to, what I loved is just even working with those two and hearing their stories was, there is so much love from a show. And that's, you know, all hands up down, isn't it, to Neighbours? The fact that so many people, including, of course, Guy Pearce, who I worked with recently, and even Margot Robbie appeared in the final, which just shows the love for, you know, there's not many shows that bring that level of people come back, I don't think.
Absolutely. It was very, very special. Everyone we asked said yes. There wasn't really a hesitation from anyone. And everyone that either, you know, stepped back on set or whether or not they sent a video, it was just such, we had such beautiful interactions with everyone. You know, Holly and Natalie, as you mentioned, we were so keen to be a part of it. And it was just a really beautiful coming together of the past and the present. The show means a lot to the viewers, but it also means a lot to everyone that's worked
on it. Everyone in it, yeah.
And it was very, very meaningful. And I think, you know, that even that little message we put at the end of the episode, which I think was, you know, thank you for loving us, we love you. It was really from the heart. We just felt so much love at the time, and we wanted everyone at home to know that we love them too.
And I think I felt a bit sorry for Kylie, because she got a lot of flack over here. And just to set the record straight, because you actually had to record that really way in advance, didn't you? So the reason she didn't have much dialogue was because you didn't actually know quite what was going to happen in the show at that point.
Absolutely. Kylie and Jason were amazing. You know, that whole experience of talking to them and then them coming back for that day, it was really magical, very special, because remembering I was a super fan of that era of the show, and that they were both wonderful. We didn't have the full episode at that point in time. The final episode was coming together. Last minute's the wrong word, but it was evolving. We shot with them in April. It was evolving all through May.
Yeah.
And then we filmed at the start of June. Kylie and Jason, they couldn't have been lovelier. They couldn't have been easier. It was such a laugh and I think, you know, very special for them too. And everyone that came back, you know, of course, including Guy as well. I really believe, hand on heart, or should I say, hand on your heart? They all play, I believe, a really pivotal role in the show coming back, because it reminded everyone how beloved the show was, and how much, you know, life it still had in it.
Yeah, and then that's what I was going to say about coming back, because again, everyone, well, that obviously you've got people going, oh, it was all the guys and it was just to get publicity. Of course, we know it wasn't. But I think you're right. I think that people, I mean, it just, because obviously, as we know, soaps go up and down in ratings and Neighbours have been going along, but not really causing a huge amount of fuss until this kind of, and then it literally went ballistic. And obviously that did really help, showing that actually there's a real fan base out there. And did that help shape when you realized it was coming back? Did that kind of reaction help shape what the show is to become?
Well, I think it just affirmed what I've always felt about the show. I think, you know, people always say, well, what makes Neighbours work? You know, what's the secret? What's it all about? And I do always come back to the heart of the show. I do think it's got heart. And I do think it's got heart and community. And whilst over the years, we can probably identify times of the show where it's maybe strayed a little, but it's always come back to those core principles, in my view. So I know, or I felt very strongly when the show was coming back, that it should be the Neighbours that everyone knows, loves and remembers. Yes, we want it to be even bigger and better than before. But I felt very strongly, and everyone agreed. Amazon agreed, 10 agreed. We all agreed that we wanted to give the show back to the fans. And that's what we've done.
And just tell me about when you heard it was coming back. How did it happen for you that you suddenly heard that you could be back behind the desk?
Well, I sort of never left the desk, because I was still here in the buildings at the studio making a couple of other shows, Riptide and Heat, during that hiatus, I guess we're going to call it. So I was still here, and then yes, there was a memorable moment where I heard we had interest from Amazon, and then we began talks, and then it was a whole, you know, sort of journey of you know, how could we do it, what would we do. And all those, you know, questions were answered, and that all brought us to that wonderful week where we announced the return of the show.
Yeah, wow. And again, was it hard? You've obviously, some of the cast, I mean, I think I spoke to Lucinda quite afterwards and she didn't know at the point whether she was coming back. Was it, again, quite a hard conversation? Did you have to have conversations with people you didn't bring back as well as the people you have brought back?
Yes, I think we tried to talk to everyone. I will also say that, you know, just because someone is maybe not in the first episode, doesn't mean you won't see them again.
There we go. Yeah.
You know, I think all the viewers know I'm a big one for bringing back people from the past, and to me that's all about real life and community, That's what happens in real life. We all come in and out of each other's lives.
So surprises along the way, basically.
Say that again.
Some surprises along the way, as always.
Absolutely. I do want to move the show forward. I'm very forward looking. I don't want to live in the past, but I think there are times where it makes perfect sense for characters to come back, and I think people will see that happen.
And we obviously saw Guy, his first appearance on Monday. Again, I mean, I think that was one of the things that I instantly thought, and I'm sure it's one of the things you instantly thought, that it ended with Jane and Mike. And what a love story that was, that we've loved over the years, and what a magical ending it was. Suddenly Neighbours is back. You must have had that sudden, oh no, what do we do?
Look, absolutely, and I reached out to Guy pretty quickly, and we had a good chat about it. everyone as well. I must say, you know, whilst I think everyone was quite shocked that it was back, everyone was just so happy as well because they know what it means for the viewers and for our industry, our television industry here in Melbourne. It's such a vital part of it. So, I did. I spoke to Guy when we had quite a few chats, and then wonderfully, we were able to work something out, which I think you know all about.
Yes, which obviously we can't tell anyone about, which is for watch it unfold. It's fabulous. But, it was, you know, well, thank God he came back, wasn't it? Thank God you could work out. You've also got some new arrivals, including Hollywood star, of course, Misha Barton. Yes. Was that again? How did you feel like you wanted to get a big kind of American name in to the show, or just a big someone to kind of, you know, we all know someone to kickstart the publicity in a different way?
Yeah, well, I knew that we were coming back and we'd be launching in North America, which is a very exciting opportunity.
Very, yeah.
And we've had actors from overseas before, and of course it's very anyone who's been to Melbourne will know that we have a lot of Brits here, we have a lot of Americans here. My partner's American, so we have it made perfect sense to me that there'd be a lot of reasons why bringing in a character from the States and having them played by Misha would be a good thing for the show, and I think I certainly got a huge kick out of her being here, and I loved what she did and what she brought to the character.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen even the trailers that I saw last week. Such a good trailer, the one where she gets in the lift. Absolutely amazing. And what's it been like? I mean, actually, let's mention Sarah and Naomi, who are coming up later this week on Soap from the Box, who are brand new characters. It must be so exciting being able to kind of not start fresh, but being able to suddenly have a, because the show's just, correct me if I'm wrong, the show is we've gone 2 years ahead, which must give you so much excitement of what you were able to do then storyline wise.
Definitely. I just saw it as a fantastic opportunity. Soaps have done time jumps before, but in our case, we were actually going to be off air and life would have moved on for our viewers.
Yeah.
So it made sense that life could have moved on for the characters. I was just very, very excited by the idea. So it was also a chance to kind of reset the street. The characters have always come and gone from Ramsay Street. There has always been sort of natural evolution of the households. And I saw it as a great chance to kind of look at the show, look at the six houses, because we're, you know, primarily six houses in the street, as well as Paul's penthouse. And I saw it as a great chance to kind of look at it all and go, all right, what do we want? What would be the ideal balance of characters? If we were starting afresh, what would be, you know, what would be a great balance? And also very keen to represent the multi-generations, as well as all the wonderful diversity that we have in society. I wanted the show to be reflective of that. So I really like the kicking off point, and I really like where Ramsay Street is at when we come back.
And those two characters it's great because it helps better reflect the LGBTQIA plus community. Was that something in your mind again, like you said, your diversity, trying to broaden the characters in the show?
Yeah, and as I say, it's to reflect real life and to reflect the real
world. Totally, yeah.
That's all we're doing. So I saw it as a great opportunity to begin. I mean, viewers will hopefully have seen the first episode by now. I thought it was a great way to start the show with the arrival of the new family.
Yeah.
In a little bit of a, you know, slightly modern twist. They're sort of staying in Jane and Mike's house, which is we call it Rent Your Home, but it's a bit of an Airbnb type situation.
Yeah.
Again, a relatively modern concept. And that's how they come to the street. And then circumstances and life takes over, and they will be staying on.
And what can we, I mean, I know you can't give away any storylines. What can you say what can we expect from the show coming up? I mean, is it because obviously soaps over here have got into that system of having big stunt weeks. I mean, I suppose the interesting thing, and I think, is this the way forward for soap? Is, I think it is, that you're not going to run continuously. You're going to have seasons, aren't you, and series, which does give you that constant reset button, I suppose, a bit. Do you think that's an important way forward now for shows like this?
Well, I've tried very much in my time at Neighbours to always be forward planning. I always like to have what I call them story locomotives. I always like to have a few of those in train. I always love a story that I know where it's going for the next, you know, year to 18 months to 2 years. It doesn't mean that we don't veer away from that if you know, we feel going in a different direction is best. But I'm a really, really, really big believer in planning ahead and making sure every action has a reaction, really thinking about the lead into to things and then the consequences that come out of them. So even when we've done big stunt weeks, for whatever reason, I've always tried to see them as opportunities, like a rock in the pond. You throw a rock in the pond and then it ripples.
Yeah.
And I'm always looking for those stories that ripple and affect the whole show. Now, not every story does that. We have a lot of stories that perhaps involve one household or a collection of characters. But the absolute best stories, my favorite stories, are the ones that affect everyone.
Yeah.
And they generate little subplots and then this leads to that. So actually with the time jump and as time goes on in the show, there will be unanswered questions in the first episode, in the first weeks. But as time goes on, we will discover, we'll learn some things that happened in the past that have had a big impact on shaping the future of the characters. So in a way, it's also using the 2 year time jump to create a big rock in the pond.
Yeah, amazing.
That's everyone.
So exciting. And then how long are your seasons going to run? So how long is this on for, the new first season of Neighbours?
Well, look, we're back on air this week, as you know, and at the moment we're continuous. So
great.
We don't have any breaks planned.
And it must be exciting because I remember years ago when we were fans of the show, we were around the same age. And, you know, we were, I don't know how many months behind in the UK from Australia. Suddenly now the whole world has got Neighbours at the same time, which is really exciting as well.
Absolutely. And it's great that the world is such a small place now. And we all know that, you know, a spoiler, you know, in Australia is going to make its way to the UK, you know, within hours.
Yeah.
It makes absolute sense that both territories would be aligned and everyone would be getting it on the same day.
I know. Thank God we didn't have social media when we used to watch it. We would have known far too much, wouldn't we? Finally, Jason, you've got to play Either Or. So by the way, everyone, it's Amazon Freevee. You need to obviously sign up if you haven't yet. Started on Monday. Huge week. Huge series planned of the brand new Neighbours. You've also done, by the way, Home and Away, haven't you, as a script editor? Do you, over here, obviously it's quite fun competition between the soaps. Home and Away and Neighbours seem quite close. Home and Away really champion Neighbours coming back as well. Kind of similar show to work on?
I've done a few different roles on Home and Away over the years. They are very similar, and we're all very good friends. I know a lot of the people over there. Actually, I saw a bunch of them at the Logies, and it was just so nice to, you know, big warm hugs, and everyone said how happy they were that we were back, and likewise. So there's, I think any competition between the two shows is either a sort of a media creation or maybe something in the eyes of viewers rather than
yes.
us. We're all incredibly
yeah.
supportive of each other. Some of our freelance writers work on both shows. You know, I'm their biggest supporter. I hope that they go from strength to strength and continue for a very long time. And you know, all credit to them as well for entertaining audiences for as long as they have.
Yeah, it's nice. And they're both quite different. And obviously we said you wrote some brilliant shows, which you can watch over here. Heat, Riptide and Lie With Me with the brilliant Charlie Brooks, who I worked with on EastEnders. That was a fab one. Any more of those? Or are you far too busy with Neighbours at the moment?
I'm very, very busy with Neighbours at the moment, but look, absolutely. I think there'll be more in the future.
There'll be more in the future. Amazing. And we'll end with either or the game that you choose one or the other, Jason. We play with everyone. So here we go. There's only one mean one in there. Well, there's a couple of hard ones. First one's quite hard. Mrs. Mangle or Madge Bishop?
Oh, gosh, I didn't know about this game.
Yeah.
oh, gosh. Well,
I mean, they're both legends. Oh, we're talking about the characters.
I just have to say Madge because I know the wonderful Anne Charleston and I adore her. And I never had the privilege of meeting Vivian Grey.
The lovely Vivian Grey. Sun or snow?
Oh, sun.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Strawberries or cream?
Ice cream?
Yeah, strawberries, well, or cream, because normally it's a very English thing. You have strawberries and cream together. But if you had to have just one, would it be the strawberries or the cream?
I think it'd have to be the cream.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm sure you do get these soaps over here. EastEnders or Coronation Street?
Oh, see, that would have to be a coin toss, because, I mean, I know of them.
But you don't really, yeah. Yeah, well, I've got a 20p here. Heads or tails, Jason? Heads will be tails. EastEnders. Okay, tails. Coronation Street. There we go. And the final one.
I've been to the set of Coronation Street, and they were lovely. So,
Have you? I mean, they're both.
That's
lovely.
A good result.
And that's iconic, going to the set of Coronation Street, isn't it? I did go to the set of Ramsay Street, I have to say, years ago on one of those tours where you kind of hold the cricket bat and they film they give you a picture of you from the titles. It was ages ago. And Scott or Charlene? I mean, that's a really tough one to end with. Oh. I can give you both. I mean, I would say I love them both. I just would have to say Charlene. There was something about Charlene's character that I just thought was incredible.
Oh, look, I might just have to say
you can
both
go with
there.
Both.
I love them both.
Yeah, you can have both. And as we noticed this week, we'll end with the theme song. Same theme, new singer. Love when themes get. Did you again have a pivotal part to play in how the theme song was going to be reinvented?
Absolutely. We wanted to. Well, with this new chapter, it felt very fitting that we'd revamp the theme song as well. I have learned over the years to change the theme song too drastically is very much at your peril.
Yes.
So I was very, very mindful of not changing it too much. But Chris Sebastian, who's recorded the song, we all felt did a really nice rendition of it. It feels fresh, it feels modern, but of course it's incredibly faithful to the tune that everyone knows.
Amazing. Well, Jason, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. A pleasure to do work with you on Neighbours. I hope. I'm sure the new show is going to do absolutely brilliantly. Hopefully we'll work together again soon. And good luck with the rest of the series.
Thank you. And thank you to all of our amazing viewers that are still watching us. And they're the reason we're here today. We're very, very grateful.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Soap from the Box, celebrating the return of Neighbours to Amazon Freevee. If you've not joined yet, sign up and watch some massive things to come from the show. Remember, there's over 90 episodes of Soap from the Box to download and listen to right now.